So it's been a couple weeks.
Has it? In podcast time?
I mean, not in podcast time, but in recording podcast time, it's been a couple weeks.
Okay, yeah. Oh, and yeah, it has. You're right.
We don't need to peek behind the curtain, but we did skip a week because neither of us was in the mood to record a podcast, and it's better to just not do it than try and record something that we're both not feeling. That always turns out poorly.
Well, so I mean, I'm not into like marketing and like podcasty world and stuff, but isn't consistency like better than like quality?
I mean, sure, if we weren't like 2 to 3 episodes already in the can that I'm still editing.
Okay.
And plus, just like any other thing, like you can take a break. Like it's very important. Don't, you know, fall for the need to be hustling 24/7 scheme that people like to peddle, especially on the internet nowadays. Like relaxation and rest and recuperation when you're not feeling up to doing tasks is just as important as getting stuff done. Like people want to say, you know, you've got to have your main job and your side hustle and always be, you know, moving forward and always having some sort of plan and all that shit. And it's not healthy if you don't take care of yourself while you're doing all that.
I have to remember that. That's like a real life problem for Harvey Z. That like, I've been trying to work on that actually over the last few years. But yeah, I could say like growing up and everything, I definitely fell into that culture of like, always got to be working, working, working. If you're not working, then you're not living or productive or whatever. Like it just got tied into your value, your productivity. And yeah, that's a bad thing. I totally 100% agree with you, but it's easy to fall into those old habits.
Especially when like the line between home and work has blurred so frequently for a lot of people with COVID and everything. You know, a lot of people working from home. And anyone like in the gig economy where you're like freelancing and doing stuff, there's kind of this mindset where you've always got to be putting stuff out there or like working on your next project. Because me and you, I say lucky, but it's not really luck. It's more the sense of structure. Like I have an office job. I'm not in an office right now because I'm working from home, but you know, I have the 40-hour-a-week structure. You know, I clock in, I clock out. I know when my workday ends and when it begins. But for a lot of people our age and millennials and even, you know, the Zoomers below us coming out of college and everything, it's a lot of freelancing, a lot of gig economy work that doesn't have that structure. And, you know, especially if you're writing or streaming or you know, doing any sort of thing where you're not, you know, you're not responsible for like clocking in and out and getting a paycheck, where you're responsible, you're self-employed and you're getting your name out there is such a big deal that any sort of break you take, like a vacation, even just for a couple of days, it doesn't come across as healthy when you're just doing things all the time and trying to do like capture that hustle attitude. Anyway, this has been a PSA to start your Make Me a Gamer podcast here. Normally you get wacky stories, but no, this time we're telling you to take care of yourself and don't forget to hydrate.
This is like the Wiimote commercial thing. It's like, go outside, stop playing the Wii. But take the podcast with you. Go on and listen to us.
Yeah, take a break from whatever it is you're trying to accomplish and listen to us, and then maybe write us a review and give us a subscription so, you know, and get the word out. Let other people know about us.
So that we can take more breaks.
It's a gamer. Da-da. We're here. It's a gamer. Da-da.
Pay me for this, goddammit. Burble, burble, burble. Burble, burble, burble. Bloop.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
I've had a really weird day today. I woke up, and I just never hit, like, 100%. And it's not like like tired, but it was like my brain just didn't want to flick the switch to happy, you know? Like I just got, it's like stuck in neutral. Like I'm not sad. I'm not depressed. I'm not like feeling bad or anything, but I'm also not happy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not like excited or you know, getting joy out of stuff. And I don't know. I just kind of like my brain today is in a fog. I'm in one of those allergy commercials where I need someone to like peel the film off after they give me Claritin.
I used to have those days. I would call them my ennui days, like the ennui, but ennui in the sense of like I was existing or going through life. It wasn't bad and it wasn't like good, but it was just I did tasks and I fed myself. I went to work and then I came back and then I kind of like maybe I watched some TV or something, but it wasn't like I was laughing or having, but it, I don't know. It wasn't bad, at least to me, in the sense of I didn't feel depressed, but I've realized now, like I'm not a fan of ennui days.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of it either. Like I'm definitely not. Like, it's weird because, like, I'm definitely not in a bad mood, but I'm not in a good mood either. And, like, thinking about it, it's like, I want to be in a good mood, but it's just kind of like, meh.
I guess the one concerning thing that you put in there was, like, things that you would normally enjoy, though, you're not enjoying. Like, you get a little spike of, like, oh, this was nice, but it just doesn't last, or is it just not enjoyable at all?
It's not that it's not enjoyable. It's just like, yeah, okay. It's like, I was like, I was working, and when I put work on, or when I put work on, I put YouTube on or something while I'm working as like background noise. And usually I'm like excited to see my new videos, you know, in my YouTube list that I haven't seen from all the people I subscribe to. But it was just kind of like a, yeah, okay, this is fine. Like there was nothing jumped out at me. There wasn't any excitement or, you know, like, oh, this is a good video, or yeah, I want to really listen to this music that gets my spirits up and amped. It's just kind of like, yeah, background noise.
Has it been just today that it felt like that, or is this like a pattern?
No, just today. Just today I woke up and I just wasn't going. It might be, it might be a little bit of just, you know, monotony.
Got it.
Just weird. It's almost like a little bit of like a holding pattern because like I'm my brain just went into a different direction. Holding pattern. Yeah. So it's I feel like I'm in a little bit of a holding pattern because I've got a lot of projects that I'm like working on and in the planning stages of and just like doing random stuff. Like I've started streaming again. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on a novel and I'm actually first teaser, I'm on this podcast, but I'm starting to lay the groundwork for a second podcast.
I heard bits about that. I'm curious, like, what's, do we get to know about the second podcast yet, or it's too early?
Nope. I'm not saying anything until we get everything together and start getting the final details hammered out.
Well, I mean, so this is like, it's, you're being very productive, and it sounds like these are things that you want to do or and you enjoy doing.
Right, yeah, but it's that sort of like in between state where I'm not getting to see any of the
fruits of your labors.
Right, yeah, you know, like I'm putting the work in, I'm putting words on a page, and you know, getting the ideas and reaching out to people and like starting to the whole process, but I haven't gotten any like, and this the endorphin rush of like revealing a new project, you know, is. It's kind of like I've got all these things that I'm doing aside from streaming, which, by the way, just as a random announcement on the podcast, you know, I've reached Twitch affiliate status.
Yeah, tell me more about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a big deal.
Yeah. So basically, once you hit, there's four requirements for Twitch. You have to hit a certain number of followers. I think it's 50. Wow. And you have to stream for 7 different days over a 30-day period. And I think for a total of, I want to say 15 hours over the course of those 7 days total. And then have to average at least 3 viewers per stream for the entire time you broadcast. And once you hit those requirements, you qualify for Twitch affiliate, which basically means you can start earning money off of your Twitch streams, which means basically Twitch can put ads on your stream and people can start subscribing and like doing like sort of like the Patreon subscriptions where like for $5 a month, they get access to an emote or, you know, or you can have like donations and stuff like that as well. So like all that is now available to me as a Twitch streamer.
What's your handle?
Oh, yeah, I should say that, shouldn't I? My handle is actually T-Man. I tried to get something simpler, but like all like the basic T-Man labels or usernames were taken. And I didn't want to do like T-Man a bunch of numbers.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get too punning with it. I wanted to try and have like T-Man just as... to try and be as brand focused as possible. So I came up with actually T-Man, and that's basically what I've been going by. That way I don't have to say I can be T-Man everywhere and not just like, oh, by the way, my Twitch handle is my PSN ID and all that good stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm currently just kind of streaming whatever I want to stream. I don't really have a set schedule yet. I feel like I'm aiming to have Wednesdays be like my gamer productivity day where we record the podcast and then after my podcast I go stream for a little while. I don't know, maybe I'll surprise you one of these times and we'll do a live recording on my Twitch stream of a podcast instead of
Oh, that'd be weird. Yeah. I'm following it on there and stuff. So if you're watching the Twitch stream and stuff, you might see a Harvey Zed pop up and comment.
Yep. And also, you know, feel free to subscribe and give me money. Although I don't want people to give me money if they don't have the means, because I have a job and anything, you know, this is side hustle territory for me. But also, as a friendly reminder, which a lot of streamers do, is Amazon owns Twitch. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, it costs you literally nothing because you get one free subscription to any streamer of your choice on Twitch. So if you have an Amazon Prime account and it is linked to your Twitch account and you have not subscribed to any other streamer, you can simply come to my stream, click subscribe, and give me free money that costs you absolutely nothing.
I might have to look into this. I do have an Amazon Prime. I don't know if I've heard about this thing, and I don't know, at some point, maybe like many years ago, I might have signed up for Twitch. If I have it, though, sure.
Okay. Now that we've got the personal announcements out of the way, let's talk about games. So there's something big we should talk about on this episode because it happened last week and everyone's talking about it, but both me and you are not on the train and don't really have any insight on it. But the next gen systems, the PS5 and the Xbox Series X/S, are now in the hands of the regular, everyday layman consumer. People have got their next-gen systems. The Xbox came out last Tuesday, and the PS5 came out last Thursday. And people are playing them and having a blast, and me and you are not. I know I'm not.
You sound like you're missing out. I'm like, okay, this is fine.
It's very weird for me, because this is an interesting and different scenario that I've ever been in before, because like every other time a console launch has happened, I have not gotten a console at launch because I don't want to go through the hassle of waiting in line or trying to find a pre-order or blah, blah, blah. And also a lot of early games are rough and like there's all sorts of things that there are problems with that, you know, wait 6 months to a year and things get ironed out and everything is easier to find. And there isn't really anything I need to play right away that is absolutely I have to get my hands on. And this is true of the PS5 and Xbox series, and I don't want to have them. But the difference is this year is that I am plugged into gaming Twitter. Like, I am following a bunch of gaming journalists. I am, you know, friends with a bunch of people who are just knee deep in gaming. And it's great because, you know, I'm following a bunch of people and can and have discussions and have friends who are like in it, and I can talk about all sorts of things with them. But they're all getting the next gen systems because they're, you know, enthusiasts like I am. And while I'm not settling back and not worrying about getting it and anything and not really invested in getting it anytime soon, it's still a little bit of FOMO because everyone is talking about how amazing the PS5 load times are and how great the new controller is and like the haptic feedback and how it's like it's the best, you know, game controller they've ever felt, and it's like a new standard, and that's like the best innovation of this next gen console is the actual controller, and then the load times being crazy good. And, you know, so it's just sort of like I'm seeing a lot of people talk about it, and so it's just that everyone is talking about that right now, and I'm just kind of like, okay, I still have a PS4 and I'm not gonna worry about it, but I want to talk about it with you guys.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean, so you're making a conscious decision, though, not to get the PS5 right now.
Correct.
And your rationale or your decision is basically you want to let the system mature a little bit, let some games come out, then you'll probably get it? Or is this a you're never getting it kind of thing, or most likely not?
Oh, no, I'm absolutely getting a PS5 at some point.
Okay.
It is absolutely on my list because there are a bunch of games that I do want to play that are eventually coming out for it. And also, like, the advancements to the having a solid state drive and the new controller sounds all like things I want. But yeah, I don't want to go through the hassle of having to fight, you know, Walmart pre-orders, because it's been a mess. You know, people were expecting to get their pre-orders on launch day, and some people didn't get them until like today, you know, or this week sometime. So like the consoles that were supposed to show up on launch day aren't showing up until a week later. Controllers are getting shipped separately from the games, like a lot. So that one isn't really a problem, but like people getting their controllers like a week before their systems. It was okay. Weird. And, you know, so it's just, I don't know. I want a PS5 and I want, it's very much sort of the sense of like, I want to be a part of gaming and like be up to date on everything. And it's sort of like Taylor Swift releasing a new album, but a musical person, reviewer person, like, I don't know, I guess just critic, I guess, yeah. Music critic, yeah. Like, refusing to listen to the album, but still wanting to talk about Taylor Swift. You know, like, it's sort of, I know I'm technically not missing out, because I'm not actually a journalist or paid person on this sort of thing. I don't know. If a PS5 happened to magically appear on my doorstep, I wouldn't take it away, or like I wouldn't be sad about it, but I'm also not putting any effort into getting it myself for a while.
This attitude is how I feel about phones, actually, because that's my current problem, which is at this point I have an Apple phone, and Apple is all but like kicking me and like trying to push me out to get a phone. Like, I have an iPhone 6, which is being outdated and, like, replaced at some point. The battery in it reminds me constantly, like, take your phone into the Apple Store. It's broken. We can only charge it at best to, like, 60 to 70%. So when it says it's 100, it's secretly at, like, 70% and can easily drop 30 points at any time. And I'm like, I'll get an iPhone, finally. And it's, like, the 12 or whatever now. It's double the number that I previously was at. And I still haven't gotten it. I'm just like, I'll do it. I'll wait. And I know Apple notoriously never goes on sale, so there's nothing I'm waiting for. It's just I was able to bypass the 11. I was able to – each of the previous ones, I was able to go like, oh, it doesn't have what I need. And now at this point, like, my phone is so shitty that everything any working phone would have is already better than what my phone has. But I've just always kind of – and my view is always like, I want to use my phone to the maximum extent. Like, I guess this translates to the Switch. Like, I'm considering, do I get that Black Sad game that you mentioned to me recently on Twitch, where I was like, oh, that's a new game. But again, I'm also like, I haven't beaten Breath of the Wild. I haven't played Animal Crossing in forever. I'm feeling like guilt in the sense of I'm not gaming. I don't want to get new games and just leave them off to the side. Even the little like $10 game that I spent on, which was like the Water into Wine, I feel guilty that I haven't touched it at all for like since like this whole thing started basically in the spring. And so it feels weird to get a system kind of thing. But I'm also somebody who's gotten like 4 or 5 systems in my lifetime. No, Sega, PS1, PS2, PS3, and the Switch are the 5 that I've gotten. And a Game Boy, I guess, back in the day. Like one of the Game Boys. But yeah, like 5 systems. And then that's about it.
Well, yeah. So you're not like really into the pressure of getting a new system. Although, again, you know, PS5 is backwards compatible. So
I did. Well, so was it? I heard like mixed things about that, but you're saying
it's definitely like 99% of PS4 games will play on the PS5.
But not like 2s and 3s, of course.
Correct. It's only the PS4 games.
Got it. Okay.
Which is still like a big enough library and a bunch of games you haven't played, so.
Yeah, it would only open up. It's not going to be a detriment where I'm like, oh no. But like, I still have like the 3 Batman games from the PS3, I think it is, that I haven't touched. I'm like somewhere on the Arkham, the first one, the Arkham Asylum, and I haven't like played that in years. Like maybe even a decade.
Well, we need to get you regularly gaming. Like even if it's just like an hour or two every week.
So I was like, doing it more, but that was during like, I wasn't happy about it. That was like early COVID when I was like gaming super heavily, when Animal Crossing just came out. And once summer hit, I don't know what happened or what changed, but I switched over to Breath of the Wild and I kept playing that, but it would be again like concentrated chunks where I wouldn't hang out with people and I would just do Breath of the Wild for like a weekend. And I enjoyed it and it was fine, but it was also like, I was using gaming sort of to avoid, it was escapism, which was nice, but I was avoiding like socializing with other people. Now I think what the thing is, like every time I'm socializing with you guys, I don't want to game as much, if that makes sense.
But you do play Minecraft with us.
So that's, for me, falls into the socializing group. And if I play Minecraft, I feel like I've gotten a mix of, like if I had to pick one thing to game, I don't want to game on my Switch anymore, but I'll watch Minecraft or I'll watch you game. Like, this is the other weird thing. I'm not somebody who likes watching Twitch, but when I watch you play, I feel like I'm gaming, if that makes sense. Like watching you play Slay the Spire, I really enjoyed it. It was fun to watch and hear you talk your way through it. And it was like, because I was somebody like in college and stuff, I enjoyed watching you play like single player games like Metal Gear Solid and such. And I enjoyed watching the story and I had no desire to play Metal Gear Solid. But it was still fun to kind of have that voyeuristic aspect or the like the cooperative or the social aspect of it is what I enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why a lot of people like watching Twitch streams, you know, it's sort of like a community and you get to hang out and watch games that you're interested in and like, you know, hang out and chill with your buddies. It's not, you know, it's not bad. But so I did want to, you brought up Switch and not being able to play games and like socialize and all that stuff. And I did want to mention to you that apparently next year, Blood Bowl 3 is going to be coming out for the Switch.
Oh, God. I mean,
and I feel like
we have Blood Bowl. We could play this online.
I mean, we just don't have, I think I have it for the PlayStation 4.
I thought we played co-op together. Have we?
We did, like, for, like, the YouTube channel. You, like, came over and played it with me.
Oh, we didn't. I was thinking I played over here and you played over there, and we could do this at any time.
No, no, because I think you got it on the PC or something.
Mine's on Steam. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think I have it crossplay.
I see.
But I just feel like that would be a game that you would be able to play and socialize. You know, we could hang out and play games of Blood Bowl and, you know, that could be something we also do in the future. I don't know when it's supposed to be released. I just know it's coming 2021.
Okay, Blood Bowl 3. Keep an eye out because there's Blood Bowl 3. I've been trying to find. So, like, my sister has a similar dilemma, actually, of where she's doesn't have a lot of Switch games. And so she's been asking me what's a good game, but she only likes one Switch game, and that's Slay the Spire. And so she wants a roguelike card game with, like, this sort of difficulty of Slay the Spire, but. And I'm like, I don't know. Into the Breach is what I've suggested for her, but I haven't played that either. But she's trying to figure it out, and so I'm trying to help her, like, figure out, because she's also in this situation of where she doesn't need other games, though. She's perfectly fine just playing that single game over and over and over and over.
Well, that's like interesting in the sense of, like, it's not bad if you want to do that. That is a purely acceptable way to play games. Like, people do that on Twitch. You know, you have people who play Overwatch every day on Twitch for 6 hours or 8 hours, or, you know, people who play Slay the Spire, and that's, you know, what people come to watch, you know, is people who play a game regularly enough that they're good at it, and, like, it's fun to watch them go through a game. And, like, for me, I am never going to be able to do that because I have goldfish brain. And I flit from one thing to another thing. And I can't play the same thing 50 days in a row unless it's Animal Crossing and we're quarantined and I, you know, am suffering through a Great Depression and one of the strangest tragedies of our time. But otherwise, like, I can't focus on one thing. Like, I've never been able to just play the same game again and again and again. I always, like, I was all about Fall Guys, and, like, I play it maybe once a week now.
Oh,
you know,
oh.
If that. I can't play it every night anymore. Yeah, I just,
Is it that new games replace the old games, or do you game less?
I mean, new games do replace the old games. There's enough of, like, a constant turnover and enough of games that I've played that I haven't finished or, like, that I can go back to. And I will replay games I enjoy a lot. Like, I will go back to XCOM 2. Mm-hmm. I go back to Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VI, the Mega Man games, Castlevania. All my favorites, I will go back and play them again. I just don't find that sort of... The games where you can play it repeatedly over and over again. Like, I am more likely to play a game multiple times if it is a story with a start, middle, end sort of game. Mm-hmm. Like, I will play an RPG and, like, see all the character beats again. It'll be like watching a movie for, like, the fourth time or reading a book again. Like, I'm familiar with it, and I'm enjoying seeing it again, and I'm returning to the characters because I like them. But the actual action of gaming, like Overwatch, for example, I can't sit and play Overwatch every day for 8 hours because it's just plain Overwatch. There isn't, like, a story I'm absorbing again. It's just multiplayer shooting, pointing, clicking, like the actual game elements of just doing that game again and again and again. And I think it's why I have such a short attention span for games, because every time I try to get into multiplayer games like that, it never sticks.
You know, it's
Fall Guys, Dead by Daylight, Overwatch.
Because I've gotten into that sort of a mindset with, which was Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike was a game where I could just play that for hours and hours and like lose a day accidentally. Just as long as the maps were changing, or if it was like one of the two maps that I really like the office one, I could just sit there all day. And you're right, it's nothing changes. It's not like I'm leveling up in some way or anything like that, or even loot boxes or things didn't exist back then. It was just, I don't know why I was able to play it all so frequently, but that one was mindless. It was a, it didn't take a lot of thinking to do, and it was passing the time.
And, you know, and that is okay for some people, you know, like Slim, he plays Civilization VI or Age of Mythology or whatever, like his standard set of games. He just cycles through them. He's on, you know, Minecraft now too. And then, you know, I've played a lot of Slay the Spire. I've played a lot of Animal Crossing. It's probably the two games on my Switch that I've put the most time into. But, like, I also take long breaks. Like, I will play Animal Crossing for, like, a week or two and, like, check in for, like, 30 minutes to an hour each day while I'm, like, also watching TV. But then I don't visit for, like, a month or month and a half or 2 months until the next update. On Slay the Spire, like, I'll get on a kick and I'll do, like, several good runs, and then I'll just not feel like doing that for a while. And it's like the same with me and, you know, Hades. Hades, I was loving Hades. It's probably one of my top two games of the year, and might be the actual game of the year. I haven't decided yet. But I was playing that every day for like a month, and now I'm kind of like cooled off on it a little bit. Not that I don't enjoy the game anymore, but like I've been playing it a bunch. I hit a bunch of repetition and I'm decent at it now, but also like I'm tired of doing that and I want to do something else.
I can see that.
Speaking of something else, unless you have something else to add.
No.
See what I did there? I didn't mean to do it, and I don't actually think it was a thing. Anyway, time, you know, squishes together. Jeremy, bear me, wibbly wobbly. 2 weekends ago, I played a game on stream, and you were there to participate. I have a yearly tradition at this point where I basically play the latest game from Supermassive, and my friends and I would sit around on my couch, and usually they'd all get together. We'd have like a long night where we just play through the entire story. It started with Until Dawn, and that one was a unique experience because it wasn't designed to be played that way. It was designed to be played as like a normal game because it was like 10 to 12 hours, I want to say.
That was a lot of fun, though. I will say, like, watching it all, that is still a memorable experience of watching it all the way through and the twists and turns. And yeah.
Yeah. No, that I like, I still enjoy that experience, and I'm really glad it happened. And like, it was just such a good experience because like, I was like, all right, I'm going to play this. We're going to start from the very beginning. We're going to go in blind, and we're just going to see what happens. And like, I think we started playing somewhere in like the 8 o'clock in the evening range. And we basically stayed up all night. Like the sun was coming up when we finished. We literally played until dawn.
It was a very college thing to do when we were not in college.
Yeah, it came out in 2015. So it was 5 years ago. And yeah, like that really felt like, I don't even know if I could handle doing that now, you know, like I don't know if I have the energy to stay up that late anymore. Do like an all-nighter with it with gaming because I'm getting old. But it's still a tradition. And like, oh, so many people ended up doing that with Until Dawn that they ended up creating the Dark Pictures Anthology, which is basically their sort of brand of these types of games where they're focused on like the same experience, but shorter and more condensed, so people can sit down and play it all in one sitting. So it's about 5 hours, give or take. I think we clocked in at somewhere between 5 and 5.5 hours, playing the new one from start to finish. Were you there for Man of Medan?
I was, in person.
Okay, so you did see Man Up and Don as well. And so we played the latest one that just came out a few weeks ago. It's called Little Hope. And I did the full playthrough. And I figured this is something we could talk about since you were actually there. And it's a gaming thing, even though you technically didn't play it, but you were participating and watching.
It was still... I was surprised at how well... Because Man Up and Don was in person... I felt like this was actually even better, like virtually. I mean, you're missing out on like the full people, but like I felt more engaged with the storyline because it's right in front of me. It's in my screen. It's and this sort of game, you're kind of just following the action. And I would call out like, oh, do this or do that. And like while with Man and Madonna, everybody had opinions everywhere. It was less like there was less of the chaotic yelling. And this was more of like just one or two voices. And it was, I mean, it was 50-50 for the most part. So like yeah. Half the time my choices were picked and half the time maybe they weren't. But it was just, yeah. It was a lot more personalized, I felt.
Yeah. Like I do think there was definitely a larger crowd for the in-person one. And I think there was less people this time, which worked out, I think, a little better. Because like you said, there was a lot of less chaotic yelling. But also, like, part of, like, the fun of the Until Dawn experience was that chaotic yelling and everyone getting real amped up at, like, important decisions. And I don't always feel pressure while playing games, but I really, like, whenever I do these things for people and I'm, like, I'm playing it through the first time, there's always so much more pressure on getting all the quick time events right and making the right decisions and, like... I don't know. It adds a lot to the experience for me as well to be a part of this.
To have that like pressure. That.
Yeah.
Like it's a like good pressure.
It changes how I feel because like when I'm playing for an audience, I like feel the need to perform at a higher level. Like it's actually something I've brought up a little bit with my roommate and my girlfriend because you know, sometimes I'll just be playing games and like it'll be like a single player game or whatever's going on. And I'll just be sitting in our common area playing a game. And then one or both of them will sort of just start watching. And that sort of like now somebody's watching me. I have to perform better. Like sort of takes over. And sometimes I don't want that. And so like it's a little bit weird. Because sometimes I'm just playing a game to relax. And then when someone's watching me, suddenly it's like, I have to do good now. Like every time I die, it bothers me just a little bit more because I'm putting on a show, you know, I don't know. But then when we do it with the supermassive games like Little Hope and Until Dawn, it's part of the experience. So it feels, it adds to it, but it not in a negative way. Like it's just a little more exciting and like, oh God, I'm like, I've got to do this because everyone is counting on me to make sure these characters don't die. And spoilers, some of the characters died. I didn't perform well enough. I'm sorry. all right. So why don't we back it up a bit? So we talked about it, but I think you had signed off already. Where do you rank them? Like between Until Dawn, Man of Medan, and Little Hope, and having experienced all three of these as a viewer, what do you think? Like where do they rank in your eyes?
This was difficult because so Until Dawn, the experience was novel and the ridiculousness of the story and how long it was an appeal. But now that there's other games that are shorter and tighter to compare it to, like Until Dawn is sort of unique from the other two, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Just because like we had the A plot and then suddenly a B plot and then a C plot appeared and I was not expecting the C plot or the B plot. And if you had asked me in the beginning, I didn't predict that coming. So that was interesting. But at the same time, it was also like, I hope you beat this game now and the sun is coming out soon kind of thing. So that one, it's special. Like Until Dawn is its own special thing. So it's more Man of Medan versus Little Hope. Man of Medan, I enjoyed it. Again, it was sort of novel, but I enjoyed the setup of it, the way it was playing. I will say with Man of Medan, I kind of called the ending. I was the first to predict the ending. And I was like, what if it's this? And I suspect this is what is the thing that's happening here. And sure enough, that's where it was, which it's a plus and minus for me. This is how I feel about movies as well, which is I've watched a lot of movies and I've read a lot of books that I start to guess at what's going to happen in like murder mysteries or suspense movies. I'll try to figure out what's the plot or what's the trope going on. And there's some enjoyment in that, but that's the thing that I overthink, if that makes sense, of where the best movies for me are the ones where I don't do that anymore and I just enjoy the ride. And I don't care where it's going, but you've hooked me enough that like, I don't even care. I think the last one that did that, I finally saw Knives Out. Knives Out did that, where I didn't want to try to guess what the next twist was. I was just like, I'm in,
whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I love Knives Out. And yeah, I agree.
And so like with Little Hope, I had some ideas of like, oh, what's the twist? What's not the twist? So I was still doing some of it. And because it's a game and there's lots of people sharing ideas, it comes up a little bit more. I think I enjoyed Little Hope, the overall story more. So I'm... But Man of Medan was nice. And I felt like Man of Medan had, maybe it's now retrospective, more action. Or which one did you fuck up more in? Man of Medan you did pretty well in. Like, you lost one person, I think.
Yeah, I feel like I did better in Man of Medan. But also, I feel like when I fucked up in Man of Medan, I didn't understand what had happened.
Yeah.
Like... For me, I liked Little Hope a lot more than Man of Medan because I'm listening to a helicopter go right over my apartment building. I don't know if you guys are going to be able to hear that, but like
fits in with Man of Medan. The
entire building.
Oh, I can hear it.
Coming for me for my Little Hope opinions. All right. Anyway, sorry. No, but I liked Little Hope a lot more because it was straightforward, you know, you knew what was happening. When characters were in danger or died, you knew exactly what was going on and why it happened. And the narrative itself was a slow burn and, like, it sets up the scary. Uh-huh. Like, Man of Medan, like, there is a long introductory sequence where, like, you don't even get to like the actual dangerous, scary portion of the game until like almost a third of the way into it. You know, it's just the pacing of Man of Medan is all over the place. And when I say all over the place, I mean in the sense of like, it's like a flat nothing for like the first third. And then it's just spikes and then nothing and then spikes and then nothing and then spikes. And Little Hope is very much a slow, like, it starts off slow, but, like, it hooks you. Like, it gives you the mystery and weird shit happening straight, almost, like, right from the beginning. And it's, like, just, like, slowly ramping up over the course of the game. And, like, the danger just keeps continuing.
Thinking about it, I agree with you there. I think... So I'll put then Little Hope as the higher one now that I'm thinking about it and the ending and the action beats in it. You're right. It's a lot tighter. And while normally I'm like, oh, I want things to stretch out, I don't necessarily want a movie to stretch out. I don't want like things to be how like Until Dawn was, which was the way that Until Dawn kept it interesting was it simply kept throwing new plot twists into the whole thing. And so it was almost like you're watching a next movie, a next movie, a next movie with these characters. This one, I like it nice. It was tight. It was a more enjoyable experience to watch.
Yeah, it was a more enjoyable experience to play too. And like in Man of Medan, they were also playing around with the multiplayer. And I think like I feel like they got a better read on how to implement it through Man of Medan, and like they were still working through some growing pains with how they told the story. Because so I've played both games twice, once as like the single player with the audience, where basically I was controlling everything and being shouted decisions at while I was playing. And then I've played it once with a friend, and we did the sort of the co-op story mode where each of us plays different characters and we sort of like control different characters and we each make our own decisions and we don't see every story or like every story beat. Like we see perspectives of the players we're playing as, but we don't see anything else. And we sort of have to get filled in by the other person as to what's going on. And I feel like Man of Medan actually worked better in that scenario. Like the co-op story felt more cohesive because I was only playing from certain perspectives. And from those perspectives, I understood what was happening. But that didn't translate to the overall like single player game when you're controlling everybody, because you flip around so much between all the perspectives that it gets a little confusing and jumbled and you're not quite sure what happened. In Man of Medan, when we played through the first time, we literally had somebody die and we didn't realize until the very end of the game that they had actually died because it had been so unclear as to what had just happened. And Little Hope worked both in the single player and the co-op multiplayer aspect, where I knew what was going on in both versions, and both versions came across as fun and interesting. I actually slightly favored the single player version of Little Hope, specifically because in some of the action sequences in Little Hope, they did this really cool sort of zoom effect where, like, you're controlling both characters or controlling multiple characters running from, like, the monster that's chasing them. And you're having to do the quick time actions for both of them. And it's this real cool, like effect where it, like, zooms back and forth between the two characters and, like, in slow-mo sort of signaling to you which character is the one you're controlling now, and it actually manages to ratchet up the tension because you're flipping back and forth between both of these characters and trying to make sure they don't die. Whereas in the co-op version, all those scenes are split between the two players, and so you're only controlling one, and it completely removes the tension from the scenes because, like, you scramble with your character and then sort of like sit back and watch the other person scramble with their character, and then you jump back in and hit more buttons with your character and then sit back and watch when the other person plays. And like those action sequences didn't have the tension they had while playing a solo. And so, like, I think it's better designed overall though than Man of Medan was, in the sense that I think the game works in both modes, whereas I feel like the only mode to play, or the there is a clear advantage to playing the Man of Medan game in co-op mode over solo.
What it does make me feel is very optimistic, though, that this franchise is, because each game has been better than the last in a way, or in terms of like viewing it and in terms of the storyline and stuff. So it makes me hopeful for if there's a third one, I'm looking forward to watching and seeing this experience again.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I definitely feel like Supermassive has been honing their craft and, like, focusing on these types of games. And I really hope they continue to create them, and that Little Hope and the next one, which is going to be called House of Ashes, sells well enough for them to continue doing this, because they're, like, they're really good. I like the horror aspect of it. I like what they do with the stories. And I feel like they hit lightning in a bottle with Until Dawn, and I don't know if they're ever going to recreate Until Dawn, but they're still doing good. Like, the games they're creating are still very much worth playing. And I think once they really get everything tweaked and just situated right, and like start like being able to churn out games with like a very fine and fixed sort of structure, it's going to be a lot better. And also, like, once that identity is formed, they won't be chasing Until Dawn's popularity with every game.
Are these games successful so far, the smaller ones, as compared to like Until Dawn, or is it something where it's still like they're not quite there?
So I don't know for certain the sales numbers. I'd have to look them up.
like, I hope they're considered successes at least, or is it like, still like...
I'm pretty sure Until Dawn is still considered their most successful game. Mm-hmm. And I don't think sales numbers for Little Hope have... Okay, so let's see here. Man of Medan managed... So Man of Medan broke 1 million sales. It wasn't... Didn't make Until Dawn numbers. I don't know what Until Dawn's numbers was. But it still managed to break 1 million, which isn't bad for a game, you know, that was priced at $30 and, you know, was smaller and everything. I don't know. I don't think Little Hope numbers has been released yet. No, we probably won't find those out until later. But I'm like the teaser for House of Ashes and, you know, the curator character who is like their sort of
guy. I like him.
I do too. He's like almost like the mascot sort of guy that he's basically the crypt keeper from Tales of the Crypt. You know, he's the one telling the story and sort of giving you the lowdown in between scenes. But he implied there's going to be, like, he says we'll be back at least one more time. So like House of Ashes is of course like already sort of being made and is planned on being released next year. And I don't know if they'll make the jump to next gen or how it's going to go, but like, I really hope they continue making these and that they're successful enough because I enjoy the experience mm-hmm. I get from them. And they're pretty much got the market covered in that sort of sense. Like no other company is making these sorts of games.
Yeah, like I would be sad if we had to stop these things because that's probably the most viewable or enjoyable thing. Like, I really just enjoyed in person and even in this virtual state, like to be able to follow along and watch.
Yeah, and I like doing them, obviously. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't keep doing them every year if I didn't, but yeah. All right, that's so we're almost at time here. We're a little shorter than usual, but I'm okay with that. If you are, I don't have much else to add. I have other games to talk about that I've been playing. Got Fuser and Miles Morales. I think that's it.
Okay. I follow your Twitter, so I've been seeing the Miles Morales stuff. Fuser, I'd heard a little bits and pieces of, but I think I need to like see it or hear it to fully understand it.
I think I've explained Fuser to you before. Yeah. But it's very similar to Drop Mix, the board game, just as a video game. But I think I'll get into Fuser and Miles Morales more next time we talk.
Because can you stream or Twitch the Fuser?
No. So that's actually something I'm kind of annoyed about because it has a bunch of licensed music, so you know, recording companies are really fucked. And they like making sure no one can ever play their music unless they make money off of it. So while the game is licensed, there is very like strict streaming rules. And so one of the things that is built into the PS4's streaming capabilities is that game creators can sort of disable the ability to use the inherent stream capabilities of the PS4. So like people who have Elgato capture cards and any sort of other streaming device hooked up to their PS4 can still stream using that, but you can't just use the PS4's native streaming sharing sort of thing because Harmonix and has blocked it on account of all the DMCA stuff that could possibly come from, you know, just show sound just showing music and putting music videos out and streaming it. And on top of that, they have like a built-in system in the game to be able to share mixes to make sure like it follows all their licensing agreements and things like that. And it'll always like say who the artist is and like everything about it. But that doesn't work like 75% of the time. And like it'll hard freeze the game and I have to close it out and reopen it and I don't actually get to share anything that I've made. So it's actually been a little bit of a sore point for me because I can't stream it because my PS4 is not hooked up to my Elgato capture card that I use for streaming, and just the way my apartment is set up right now, like reorganizing everything just to like stream Fuser once would be way too much of a hassle, and it's just not worth it. And if I had known I was going to run into these problems, I might have gotten it on Switch instead, because it's not a super graphic intensive game, and I can stream from the Switch because that one's portable and a lot easier to move around my apartment and set up for streaming. But yeah, so that is my biggest problem with Fuser right now. And that's not so much a problem with the game as it is with all the stupid recording studio shitbirds that, you know, don't want music to be heard by people unless they can make money. That's a rant for another time, though. But Fuser is very fun. The actual game is fun, and I enjoy it. Miles Morales is very fun as a game, and I enjoy it a lot. And I'll have a lot more to say of it. I'm getting close to the end of the story, I think. So I'll have probably next time we do a podcast, I will have a full account of the game, and I can talk about it from a complete perspective. It's good, though. And I'm probably also going to start Yakuza Like a Dragon, which is going to be interesting.
I've heard good things about it.
I watched someone else stream it for a few hours and was basically sold on the game. And so I ended up cashing in some of the credit I have at our local game store to buy it, so I didn't have to actually spend any more money, because I sort of limited myself, and like I wasn't going to buy anything else after Fuser and Miles Morales. Those were going to be my last purchases for games until the end of the year. But you know, I had this credit that was just sitting around that I hadn't used yet, so I could went ahead and picked up Like a Dragon, because I have poor self-control, but at least I used not money with my lack of self-control to get the game. I make good solutions like that.
Sure.
Anyway, that was a really long section about absolutely nothing. I'm really channeling my inner Seinfeld here. So we're going to wrap it up here, I think. Where can they find you, Harvey Z?
You can find me on Twitter at TheZIsSilent. There's probably other places you can find me, like on Twitch and like Discord and stuff, but T-Man's got that stuff covered.
You can find me on Twitter at T-ManPlaysGames. You can find our podcast at Make It... Yeah. I ran out of water. My mouth seized up on me. Hold on. Starting it over. Okay. You can find me on Twitter at TManPlaysGames. You can find my podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can always email us at MakeMeAGamerPodcast@gmail.com. You can find my writings at TManWrites.com. And you can find me on Twitch at ActuallyTman. That's it. Harvey Z, take us out.
I was about to, and then I was like, do I really need to take us out? Why not just stay in this space? We've created this wonderful, relaxing space. We're in your ear holes right now, like, talking to you. Holy shit! Do you know, like, when I was 5 years old, I didn't picture I'd be doing this. When I was 10, I didn't think I'd be doing this. I'm in someone's brain right now, and they're listening to my words. Like, we have absolute power and control here, except they're not going to do what we tell them. But if they did...
I want to start quoting Rage Against the Machine here.
Go for it.
I won't. No, it's okay.
Wait, no, that's not... You can't do that. I'm not in your brain. Like, don't quote that. Like, I mean, these people... We're in their brain. We're the rage in their machine.
Oh, God. Oh.
Although it's rage against the machine.
Yeah, rage. Also, you just said we're in, like, a calm, relaxing space. So,
but then I realized how much... rage. No, fuck that. Now that I know we have all this power, fuck calm. Fuck that shit.
All right, well, that was your moment of zen with Harvey Z. Would that be the Harvey Zen?
Ooh, I like it. Your moment of Harvey Zen.